Osteoporosis is affecting more and more people. In fact, it is becoming an epidemic. The resulting broken bones causes great pain, disability, and even death. What can you do to avoid osteoporosis? Well, Dr. Bruce Miller gives you the latest research on measures you can take to keep your bones as strong as possible.
The osteoporosis epidemic. Osteoporosis is currently an epidemic in America. Over 24 million Americans currently have osteoporosis. This number is expected to double by the year 2020 unless we do something about it. The disease accounts for over 1.3 million fractures a year. By age 76, one-third of all women and one-sixth of all men will have had a hip fracture. Even more disturbing is the fact that these fractures are fatal in about 20 to 80% of the time, depending on the age and the health of the patient at the time of the fracture. My mother-in-law died of osteoporosis. The death certificate said pulmonary emboli, but that was not the real cause. By the way, this happened to be a mother-in-law that I dearly love. Very, very sweet woman. She started to get out of a chair to go to a Bible class, and her hip joint would no longer support her weight, which is about 90 pounds at that time, and the head of the femur broke. And so she was heading for a Bible class, and Jody was going to pick her up. Anyway, took her to the hospital, put a pin in the hip. She came home after a short hospital stay. In a few days, she was having difficulty in breathing, and we got her back in the hospital. She was put in intensive care, probably threw a few blood clots, and one of them ended up in the pulmonary area, and so her cause of death was listed as pulmonary emboli. That's not so. She died of osteoporosis. I believe had she not had osteoporosis, she would have lived 20 more years, at least. Osteoporosis is a truly silent but life-threatening disease. She never knew she had it. She never knew she had it till she broke her hip. Most women find out that they have osteoporosis when they break their first or second bone. Then they find out, oh my goodness, they just told me my bones are thin. Well, I asked them some more questions and went back, well, I have osteoporosis. Then you're set up for some trouble. Women are about 8 times more likely to get osteoporosis for 2 reasons. Their bones are smaller than a man, and they did not do what they should do to develop and maintain proper bone density when they were younger. What should you do, and when should you start? Start about age 8. About age 8 is a nice time to start. Listen carefully. This is important. Osteoporosis, heart disease, and many other diseases, such as those, are diseases of youth that produce symptoms as we age. You don't wake up one morning and say, oh, I got osteoporosis this morning. Like I caught a cold last night. No, this is something that takes place over a long period of time. You reach your maximum bone density or peak bone mass somewhere around age 35. You keep building density all through these early years, and about age 35, somewhere in here, you're at your peak bone mass. And this is the time of greatest bone strength and toughness. So anything that you do below 35 to increase your bone mass is like putting money in the bank for the future. It's a great savings account. You stay even till about age 40, 45, and then the bones begin to lose density. If you maximize your bone development before age 35, then the normal bone loss after age 45 won't affect you very much because you had so much mass to begin with. But if we're going to see, even if you're past age 45 or even past menopause, you can stop further progression of bone loss and even reverse it. Now, two alarming trends are contributing to bone loss. First is the low consumption of major calcium-containing foods. We drank 53 gallons of carbonated drinks per year, per person, and only 24 gallons of milk. And the carbonated beverage line is going out of sight. It continues to increase. Cheese consumption is up, yay. But it goes into pizza, nachos, and cheeseburgers, which increases heart disease dramatically. And the second one is weight-bearing exercise, which builds tough bones, is dropping all the time. With the advent of 9 zillion television channels and the internet, most people just move to get food, drink, and go to the bathroom. That's about it. And I'm sorry to say that our teenagers and others in the bone-building years are some of the biggest offenders. Now, let me give you a list of risk factors for osteoporosis, because controlling some of these can put you well ahead of the curve. A big risk factor, as I mentioned, is low calcium intake. The next one is lack of weight-bearing exercise. Cigarette smoking is a risk, alcohol, junk food diets, excessive use of salt, pure vegetarian, and not consuming proper food supplements. Some nutrients you need are not in your usual diet, and some you need more of than an average diet supplies. You need more nutrients than the average diet will give you. Now then, let's learn a little bit more about bone to understand all this. Bone is constantly undergoing replacement, like every other tissue in your body. Bone has about a four-month cycle known as remodeling. And this goes on in different parts of the bone all the time, so there's never a weak period. Now here's how a four-month period would look like. We'll take a bone, take a chunk out of it, and the first thing that happens is an osteoclast comes in and begins to remove old bone. If you were remodeling a home, this would be the demolition squad. It looked like a large Pac-Man. They gobble off chunks of bone. And then the next thing that happens is the osteoblast comes in. They come in, and where old bone was removed, they begin to form a protein matrix made out of collagen. You can think of them as a spider spinning a web one strand at a time until this little collagen matrix of the web is made. Make a nice web across the bone over here. Then mineralization and calcification occur when calcium and phosphate come in and fill in around the collagen matrix and new bone is formed. And then, in 4 months, another cycle starts somewhere else in your body. Now then, until you reach age 35, each 4 month cycle can make your bone tougher and more dense. So, if we have several questions to answer. What are the major steps to take to build bone mass after age 35? I'm going to focus on women because they are 8 times more likely to get osteoporosis than men. However, men should follow the same program. So, what are the major steps in menopause? What about after menopause and all this stuff? Well, you're left with 4 key factors. These are extremely important and will be the main body of the rest of this talk. Diet, weight-bearing exercise, calcium, and other food supplements. All major bone specialists agree that these 4 are the most vital ingredients from start to finish. It applies to preteen, same program, your peak bone mass at 35, same program perimenopause, same program postmenopause. Doesn't that make it easy? You just keep on doing the same thing. Number 1 is diet. All of us know basically how to eat, we just don't do it for one reason or another. This advice, you know, quote, follow the food pyramid. Follow it where? Where is it going? That's good advice. However, less than 10% of Americans eat this way. In reality, people eat for taste and not nutrition. I cannot change that, and you cannot change that. However, we can add quality food supplements to help make up the difference between what we know and what we really eat. We know how to eat, and we got to make up the difference between that and reality. Begin to clean up your diet. You know, I think that's a good idea, but I'm going to make some food suggestions to optimize your diet. Number 2 is exercise. Exercise works on the bone this way. As the muscles and tendons pull and push on bone, it's stimulated to make more bone from these forces. And there are dozens of studies, this is just one, on exercise. These were women, 32 of them, aged 50 to 73, who had all suffered at least one fracture of the forearm. This was before the study. Bone density was measured. They exercised only an hour twice a week for 8 months. The exercise choices were walking, running, calisthenics, aerobic dance, or ball games. The other group continued on their sedentary way. Result, the exercise group increased their bone density by 3.5%. 3.5, that's a big number, by the way, for bone. Sedentary group decreased by 2.7%. This study and others like it clearly demonstrate you can maintain peak bone mass and even reverse the process in later life. These women were 50 to 73. And all they did was the exercise. A survey of the literature says you get the best results if you exercise 30 minutes a day, 3 to 5 days a week. Some good weight-bearing exercises, in addition to those we mentioned, are dancing, floor exercises, stair climbing, treadmills, and weightlifting. I like to say use it or lose it, because the more you sit around, the more you're going to waste away your bone. Now then, let's get into the food supplements I mentioned, and we'll cover calcium along the way. Question arises, which nutrients should you start with when you want to begin a basic health-promoting program? If you're asking this question, you're not alone. Millions of Americans want a sound answer that makes sense. How do I begin a food supplement program? I've long been impressed with the Shaka Corporation and their research, and they've taken just an awesome step. They have spent years following the scientific literature and come up with a list of beginning supplements that make real scientific sense. The various roles these nutrients play in disease prevention and health promotion are well accepted. There are five products that everyone should be consuming. The products make up the Shaklee Basic System. There are Vita-E, Shaklee's comprehensive multivitamin mineral, B-Complex, Vita-E Plus, Vita-C 500, soy protein drink, and for osteoporosis, I would add their excellent calcium product, Calcium Complex. The most important nutrient for osteoporosis is, of course, calcium, so let's cover that one first. Calcium intake in America is a total disgrace. We should be getting 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams a day, but listen to this. Numerous dietary surveys show we take in about 500 milligrams a day. It's no wonder we're in an epidemic of osteoporosis. The worst offenders at 300 to 400 milligrams are teens and those who are past 60. Now, why does this low calcium intake exist? Several reasons stand out. At some point in time, women perceive of dairy products as fattening, and they go to diet colas and things like that. Some people are allergic to milk products. Nearly 60% are lactose intolerant to one degree or another. Others just don't like them. At any rate, calcium intake has been dropping for years, and osteoporosis has been increasing about the same rate that our calcium intake drops. Calcium is too vital to bone health to shortchange yourself. When it comes to calcium intake in America, the statistics firmly show we must take calcium supplements. There is no other way. It's nearly impossible to obtain optimal calcium intake given our freely chosen diet. We will not or we cannot do it. So a supplement is just extremely, extremely important. Here's just 1 6-month study to show the power of calcium supplement combined with exercise. And this is very, very key. This is what every postmenopausal or perimenopausal woman should be on. Average age was 60. Average number of fractures per person was 2. They were well into osteoporosis. Average calcium intake was 400 milligrams a day. Bone densities were determined. Half were put on a daily calcium supplement of 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate plus exercise. The other half, placebo and sedentary. Results. The exercise supplement group had bone density increased by 5%. That's equal to that attained in estrogen studies. The placebo actually lost 2%. But this is just an amazing study, and this is just one study of many that are just like it. The calcium supplement I've been most impressed with is Calcium Complex for the Shaklee Corporation. The primary source is ground limestone or calcium carbonate. This form has been used for years and has been proven to absorb very, very well. Molecule for molecule, it provides more available calcium than any other calcium form. For your convenience, Shaklee makes two delivery systems. The one you swallow contains 1,200 milligrams, and the chewable contains 1,000 milligrams. There's one more very, very important reason I endorse Calcium Complex. Research has shown that there are several other minerals that are needed for optimal calcium utilization in bone. There are magnesium, manganese, copper, and zinc. You don't need much, but these extra minerals can make the difference in fair bone formation and excellent bone formation. Several studies on resistant osteoporosis have shown this to be true. When given adequate calcium, bone problems persisted. When these four minerals were added, the problem was resolved. Now listen, OsCal doesn't have it. Neither does CitraCal, Calcitrate, Caltrate, BioCal, or any of the antacids like Tums. Of all the leading brands, only Shaklee Calcium Complex has this combination. So when someone says take Tums for your osteoporosis, I just kind of break into giggles. As a bonus, chewable calcium complex is an excellent antacid, as good as Tums or any of those other ones. Vitamin C is essential for bone formation. Most people don't think of vitamin C when you think of bone formation, but remember our collagen matrix, the osteoblast is spinning. Little spider spinning out this collagen and bone remodeling. Collagen is a protein, and proteins are made of amino acids. Much collagen is made up of two amino acids called proline and lysine. The key reaction in the formation of collagen is the joining of these two amino acids to form it. This reaction is totally dependent on vitamin C. Remember, no vitamin C, no collagen. No collagen, no matrix on which to build bone. Collagen is one of the key tissues in the body that holds everything snugly in its place, and it's totally dependent on vitamin C. Low levels of vitamin C result in loose connective tissue. That's why some of the signs of low vitamin C are bleeding gums, because the tissue that holds your blood vessels together begins to get loose. That collagen doesn't form as well. Easy bruising, blood vessels once again. Blood vessel fragility, slow wound healing, and weak bones. Vitamin C is extremely important in this. Protein is an essential nutrient. Besides the protein and lysine, collagen has 17 other amino acids. So we have to have those to form it. You know, studies in the 60s and 70s indicated we got plenty of protein. And now then, studies are saying, this is not so. We're low in protein. But I keep reading quotes that, oh no, we get plenty of protein. You see, we're being told to cut down on what in our diets? What? Fat. We're being told to cut down on fat. Now, when you cut down on fat, you unconsciously cut down on protein without realizing. Now, let me explain this. In the pre-fat, if I can say that right, in the pre-fat fear days, good. Pre-fat fear days, a breakfast might look like this. Two fried eggs, three strips of bacon, cottage fried potatoes, and toast with butter. Quite a bit of fat, right? But look at all the protein. I mean, it's loaded with protein. We got eggs. Now then, this person is on a health kick. It says, I'm getting this fat out of my diet. So now then, here's the fat fear time. Sugary cereal, flash of milk, and dry toast. No fat. What else disappeared? It is protein free. Just about protein free. See, if you're trying to be healthy and cut fat, it's quite easy to automatically, unconsciously end up low in protein. We should be just as aware of our protein intake as we are our fat intake. But the government will put out things like, limit your fat intake to 30%, but they don't say, and be sure and get X amount of protein. They don't tell you that. So that's up to you. You've got to monitor your own protein needs. Soy protein with its isoflavones helps bone even postmenopausally. I love soy protein. A recent 6-month study, they had 66 postmenopausal women. They gave them soy protein. They were checking spinal bone. Spinal bone is usually observed because it's the area that's most sensitive to estrogen and also shows up bone turnover more quickly. It has a very fast turnover. The research had guessed that the soy isoflavones will delay the loss of bone. They projected that. They were most surprised to find that soy increased the bone density and the mineral content by 2% in a very short period of time, in only 6 months. Quote, significant increases occurred in both mineral content and density of the lumbar spine with soy protein alone, and they were most surprised to find that. Shaklee soy protein drinks have the same protein quality as meat, eggs, and dairy with no cholesterol or saturated fat. And soy has a lot of other vital health benefits, but that's for another talk and another tape. Another important player in bone metabolism is vitamin D. Vitamin D is essential for the absorption and metabolism of calcium. It's usually made by the action of the sun on our skin. Now because of skin cancer, they're saying, stay out of the sun. Yeah, it's kind of a double whammy, isn't it? Well, they say, well, if you're going to go out in the sun, wear SPF whatever. If you wear a sun protection factor SPF of 8, it blocks 95% of your vitamin D production. So, in addition, many people in the Northeast do not get enough sunlight in the winter to even produce adequate vitamin D if they stayed out all day because of cloudiness. As a result, studies are indicating we're in a near epidemic of low levels of vitamin D. A large Boston hospital reported 59% of hospitalized patients were low in vitamin D. Another study said 30 to 50% of all patients being admitted for hip fractures were actually deficient in vitamin D. And I know this is true because it was also in the Reader's Digest this month. They do pick a good study every now and then. The point is that we're ignoring our vitamin D intake in some way. We're more aware of calcium. People seem to think, well, what's calcium in? But we're missing the vitamin D connection. And that's extremely important because we're getting very low on it. I see people who have good calcium intake, exercise the whole nine yards. Without the vitamin D, people, it doesn't do a bit of good. Based on a number of studies, I recommend a supplement of at least 400 IU. And that's what you'll get in Vitali. Shaklee's excellent Vitali has an important 400 IU. Another nutrient we seldom consider when you think of bone is vitamin K. It's been recently discovered that several vitamin K-dependent proteins are involved in bone formation. One of these proteins, osteocalcin, is excreted by our bone-building osteoblasts. And others are involved in calcium transport and the use of vitamin D. Tufts University kind of put the final proof on vitamin K. They had several groups of people with resistant osteoporosis live at their research center for 15-day periods. When they increased the vitamin K for only 5 days, usable osteocalcin was increased by an astounding 41%. In other words, more osteocalcin was able to enter the strengthening of the bone and make it much more resistant to fracture. And once again, I have to be impressed with the science of the Shackley Corporation. Shackley's Vital-E contains 80 micrograms of vitamin K, which is exactly the recommended amount. Exactly the recommended amount for building good bone. Osteoporosis is a terrible enemy to our health and even our very lives. And I say start now, at whatever your age, resolve to take action steps to prevent or control this disease. I wish you the best of bones. Thank you.